First Kings chapter 17. And we'll do a continuation of what we began last Lord's Day on the idea of faith promise. Faith promise giving. First Kings chapter 17, then, beginning in verse number 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, and before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after that make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spaketh by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son? And he said, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, and carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon this widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child, and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, as we look into your word this morning, we pray that you'd speak to us, teach us the spiritual truth that's contained in this passage of Scripture, and Lord, how it relates to our own lives. For Lord, we know that the Word, even of old time, was given as examples of us who were to come after. We thank you, dear Lord, for such faith as you've given. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have a very interesting story here when it comes to faith. This widow of Zarephath. Now, if we were to back up to verse number 1, and we should, we see that Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. What has happened in the land of Israel now is that they have departed so far from the word of God that the Lord decides to try them. And in order to try them, he's going to send a great famine into the land. He's going to test their faith. And not just their faith, but the faith of a widow woman that lives far away in a place which we'll describe in just a moment. But to begin with, faith has to be tried, that it might be faith. We never know faith until it's tried. And the trial can be very difficult, as it was here. But when we've overcome it, that measure of faith will then be added to by yet another trial, and throughout our lives, a cascade of trials, each leading to greater and greater faith. That's the way it's supposed to work. And so now we find this Elijah the Tishbite, he's of the inhabitants of Gilead, and we find Ahab, this wicked king, married to Jezebel, and the scripture says that the Spirit of the Lord now came unto him, saying, in verse number 3, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. This is interesting. He tells Elijah to get him up out of the land of Israel and to go beyond Jordan into a place that harbored the ancient enemies of Israel. Zarephath is a city that's between Tyre and Zidon. It's ancient Phoenicia. This is the place in the land of the Philistines, the inveterate ancient enemies of Israel. And God tells Elijah to go into that place. And not only that, he commands the ravens to feed him. Now, we understand that ravens are unclean birds. He didn't use a dove to feed Elijah. He used ravens to bring him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. So we see the makings of a real story going on here. This seems so far out of the ordinary that it immediately piques our interest. Well, it isn't very long in verse number 7 that the brook dries up because there'd been no rain in the land. And so the famine now is raging in the land of Israel, but it's also now affected this area where Elijah is. And so the word of the Lord comes to him in verse number 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I've commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. Now, I'm sure that we understand in biblical times being a widow woman was no easy thing. It was a very difficult thing to begin with. But now there's a famine in the land which makes everything that much worse. And so it's interesting that the word of the Lord comes to Elijah and says, get thee to Zarephath. Now, if that isn't enough, it so happens that Zarephath is very close to the city where Jezebel comes from, who happens to be down in the land of Israel at this very time working her evil. And yet the Lord causes the wrath of man to praise him. And so the word of the Lord comes unto him in verse number 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Elijah, being the obedient prophet that he is, arises and goes to Zarephath. This must have seemed a very strange thing to Elijah, the greatest of the prophets of Israel. Go into this place, an unclean place. But he does it. And verse number 10 continues to say, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. That's interesting. There's a drought in the land. And the first thing that he does when he comes into town and sees this poor widow woman, and she would have been dressed like a beggar, out gathering up a few sticks, a most menial task, Elijah spots her and says, bring me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink, a precious commodity. Verse number 11. And if she was going to fetch it, he calls to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. This woman is being tried here. She's no doubt wondering, what's this Jewish person doing up in this land to begin with? And why on earth would he deign to stop and speak with me? He's dressed like a prophet of Israel. She recognizes that he is of that class in Israel, men of God. Their God. And so he says, a little water and a morsel of bread. And her reply is this. This is a test of her faith. Now, stop and think here. This woman was not supposed to have any faith in God. They had their own gods that they worshipped. And yet Elijah approaches her, and he tries her faith, and what does she say back to him? Recognizing that he is a prophet of God, she says, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil and a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Interesting. Sounds like she's bubbling over with confidence. No, she's simply observing what's going on in her city. People are dying now because of this drought. They're in a serious fix. A serious fix indeed. And she's down to her last morsel of food. And after that, she realizes that there is no more, and the drought is so far advanced and the lack of food so apparent, she's going to die. And not only that, her son is going to die with her. It seemed that all is lost. And yet she makes an interesting observation. As the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, as the Lord, Elohim, thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal, and so on and so forth. Verse number 13. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after that make for thee and thy son. So now we have this widow woman who realizes that there's a prophet of Israel standing in her presence, and he is saying something to her that seems most incredible. He doesn't have anything in his hands. The ravens haven't shown up lately. Why would she want to comply with this? You know, sometimes when we reach the very end of ourselves, we begin to clutch at straws. She says, who could tell? But we've heard of this prophet. Whether or not she knows it's Elijah or not, she knows it's a prophet of God by his very dress. And she has probably heard some of the stories about what the prophet Elijah has done down in the land of Israel. Word traveled fast in those days. And she decides, I may as well take a chance on this. There isn't anything else. Why not? And Elijah gives a thorough testing here. He says, bring me a little cake first. She only has enough oil and meal to make a little cake. And yet he says, make me a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. Now, if you're looking on the outside, practical, hard-headed thing, what this prophet is saying is patently absurd. It's impossible. It could never happen. And yet she decides to do it. What does that tell you about her faith in her own gods? It seems to have run a bit thin, does it not? You know, it's sometimes when we lose faith in the God of this world that we begin looking to the God that made us. And I think that's what's happening here. And then in verse number 14, look what the prophet goes on to say. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. It seems an incredible thing to her. But she's lost faith and confidence in her own gods. As forthwith, the children of Israel are going to lose all faith in the prophets of Baal. But she has faith where they didn't. It's an interesting thing. Well, she decides to do it. Verse number 15. And she went and did according to the sayings of Elijah, and she and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. They ate many days. The scripture does not say that God filled the barrel to heaping overflow. or fill the cruse of oil to heaping overflow at the moment. No, he's supplied their needs day by day, and by doing so day by day, precept upon precept, and line upon line, and here a little, and there a little, this woman's faith is increased. Verse number 17. Another challenge. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. Remember we said a little bit earlier, when we have a trial of our faith, the Lord never leaves it there. He'll send an even greater trial. And so some folks would say, I just want to opt out before this whole process gets started because it looks like it gets worse and worse. And the wags of this world would say, yeah, this is the way of the world. First you suffer, then you die. No, not for people of faith. Here comes something that is a challenge that this woman is going to stagger at because her son is the most important thing in all the world to her. She realizes that sooner or later this prophet of God is going to depart on his mission, and she's going to be left, and that son is the only thing that can sustain her. A widow indeed that has no relatives whatsoever had fallen upon dire straits. She has this son, which is a hope, a worldly hope, but a hope nonetheless, and we see that once this son is taken from her, she is shaken. Look what she says in verse number 18. What have I to do with thee, O thou man of... Well, that's interesting. He's still the man of God. But in her wonderment, she says, what have I to do with thee? What's up with this? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Boy, there's some vestiges of her old religion left here. Passing their children through the fire to Moloch? Yes, that's the sort of thing that they did. Worshipping in the groves and all that that attains to. But notice, she says, are you come to call my sin to remembrance? She recognizes what the problem is and why all the troubles befall the children of men. It's because of sin, and she recognizes that. She's getting a deeper and deeper spiritual understanding of things as we see the scene unfold. Isn't it interesting that the children of Israel in their haughty pride never were able to understand that they were sinners? We have Abraham to our father. We were never in bondage to any man. We don't have any problems that we would need a Savior. We're saved by our keeping of the law. This widow woman seems to have more spiritual development than the very children of Israel. But she's about to undergo a great trial of her faith. Are you come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? My son has to be sacrificed? Shall I give the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Verse number 19, and he said unto her, give me thy son. Turn him over to me. And he took her out of her bosom and carried him up unto a loft where he abode and laid him upon the bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? Does it seem like maybe Elijah needs a challenge to his faith as well? He doesn't understand what's going on here. And yet the scripture tells us that all of these things that we see in the Old Testament were given as examples unto us who should come after. We can look at this and say, Elijah, the prophet of God now, is having a bit of difficulty here where he has to question God as to why this thing has come to pass. Well, in verse number 21, he stretches himself upon the child three times. Interestingly enough, wish we had more time to comment on that. O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Yes, he was dead. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. See, thy son liveth. Do you see a deep spiritual truth in what's taking place here? All the shadows and types in the Old Testament are brought to their antitypes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God. By what? By restoration, by resurrection from the dead. I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. To close, let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 12. This is right after the temptation in the wilderness. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. John is cast into prison, and he departs into Galilee. Interesting. And not just Galilee in general. But in verse number 13, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the regions and shadow of death, life is sprung up. Wow, think about this. If you have a gazetteer with maps, you might want to look at the city of Capernaum and discern what it's situated next to. It's not very far from Zarephath. The faith of this widow woman now is answered in antitype with the Lord Jesus Christ now, fulfilling that superscription that was written over his cross in the three languages of all the world. Faith has come into all the world. Isn't it interesting that even now, the children of Israel has missed this great truth, which is a reason to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the peace of Israel, because you and I have been given a gift by Christ coming into the world that the world has no parallel to. Yes, even as Adam and Eve were escorted out of the garden, clothed in coats of skins which the Lord God had made for them, he never forgot us. Even though he called out the children of Israel and made them a peculiar nation, yet their purpose was to be a lighthouse to the world. And when they even failed in that, he still sent forth the Apostle Paul to tell the rest of the world, I haven't forgotten you, but bring me a little cake first. Now I know the Word of Faith people have made something out of this that it's not. But the foundation of the truth stands sure. If we'll respond towards the Lord in faith, he always answers that faith and presents yet a greater challenge. We'll never reach the pinnacle of the perfection that the Lord has for us in this world, for we still have that old sin nature with us. But as the old timers used to say, this life is but the dressing room for heaven. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we do want to